Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
A first for The Mike O'Mara Show. It is officially The Mike and Josh Show. Yes, I'm sorry to let everybody know, but Rob and I had a pretty significant fight over the weekend, and he has decided to leave the program.
Now you're just leaning into the haters.
I'm sorry. That's not true.
Because someone has probably missed last week's discussion about this,
I apologize. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. Rob is off this week, and so he will be returning this Friday on the show. I think, right? You said Thursday. We're having a little scheduling. It's Friday, right? He comes back Friday.
He is back for the bonus show on Friday.
On Friday.
Which we discussed recording on Thursday.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. That's fine. Then that's really fine. I didn't I scheduled a day on tomorrow that I didn't realize either at the time.
Fine. Are you good for Thursday?
I let nobody know that. This week on the show, we will be joined on Wednesday by your Korean dad, Nick Cho. I got that right, didn't I?
Yes, is Wednesday.
That's good. And then Thursday's regular show, we're going to have your brother in, and you're going to be in Boston?
Yeah, I'll be in Boston with my brother. So we are sharing a hotel room, so I figured it'd be easy to drag him onto the show.
It's really, we're getting into that time, that period of time now where there are going to be a lot of moving parts, and we're going to be spanning the globe. You more than anybody. We'll get to that in a second here. I want to talk in one of the segments today about all of your detailed travel plans for the weekend. But at first, I really think, because it's you and me, and Rob is not as into sports as we are. Yesterday, before I get to talking about your baseball team, my baseball team, just in general and irrationally, I have two sports events that I rooted for with a great deal of passion where there shouldn't be, because I don't have any real dog in the fight. That was the PGA Championship, where I was rooting for anybody to win but Scottie Scheffler, because I, like a lot of other people, like passion and like to see emotion and like to see facial expressions and like to see. And all you get from Scottie is, of course, he smiles if he wins, but otherwise there'll be nothing. He's one of these robotic automatons that just goes about his business in such a way where it just bores the hell out of me, and there's nothing there.
He is focused.
I mean, it really is, but the focus, I get back to the original thing about entertainers, and I like to see facial expressions, tears, club throwing, cussing, passion. I love the emotion of it, and the modern PGA Tour pro has evolved into, you let nothing in, you give nothing out. Even in a press conference, up until the end, you don't give them anything. And I absolutely despise that. I want to see it go back to it. I'll give you an example, Josh. Before you were born, in a land long ago, far, far away, there was Chai Chai Rodriguez, otherwise known as Chichi Rodriguez. Chichi was a guy, long since dead, by the way.
They all are.
Who'd made... Yes, that's right. They all are. They're all dead. Would make a putt, and then he would, like a matador, he would put he would turn the putter into a sword and shove it down into the scabbard, and that was just his way of saying, "Hey, I made it."
You want some showmanship.
And then he'd also take his putter and he'd like fence with it and do that type of stuff.
I can't see that in today's society.
See, but it would be great to have that. And then you would have why do you think John Daly is so beloved? John Daly's beloved because he breaks rules. He plays barefoot, smokes cigarettes, drinks beer.
Yes.
That is what sports fans crave, and that'll get you a long way winning.
You want Happy Gilmore.
I want a hybrid. All I want is personality on the tour. Now, in the case of the greatest player of all time, which, by the way, my wife early this morning, right before I came in here, we were watching his highlights, Tiger Woods. And the the highlights were spectacular until my son said to me, "Dad, why did he stop playing well?" And I said, "Well, he worked really hard in the gym, and there were a series of injuries." And then that's when Carla really just ruined the moment by saying, "Well, he was a serial cheater, Michael, on his wife," and it just degraded into which
that
he was
nothing to do with his golf.
Well, that's thing. What a male perspective would say that, but it was ugly.
Might have enhanced his golf game.
And the thing about Tiger is that even with the greatness, he showed emotion. He did the fist pump up in the air.
Yes.
He'd go, "Come on," and high-five his caddies and stuff like that. So that's why I root for anybody with a pulse except for Scottie Scheffler. Well, Scottie Scheffler won the PGA Championship. Then the other irrational team that I rooted for, I haven't been able to fuse myself to the Florida Panthers down here. I just haven't. And I love the passion of the Toronto Maple Leafs fans up in Toronto camp because it's Canada. It's hockey, and I love how it's one of the old school teams, and I love their passion. But they have now a hate relationship with their team that probably will take decades to overcome and probably has been building for decades anyway. So they lost to the Florida Panthers, which could be, and that team could be described as a new upstart team, believe it or not, even though they've won a Stanley Cup. So that's another impression. And then we get back to...
Well, and it started with the Caps losing on
Thursday. The Capitals lost too, and I get frustrated with that as well. They got their asses handed to them. So, you know, just a meh sports weekend. But really, and you can relate to this more than anybody... Because your team's suckier than my baseball team.
Oh, yeah, my team really sucks.
Your team was so sucky they fired the manager. Yes. I know nothing about it, by the way. I am so team-centric that I know they fired the manager, don't know his name, don't know what led up to it, but perhaps you could articulate
sure.
on that. Yes.
Brandon Hyde was the manager. Mm-hmm. He was the manager for 7 years. He was hired to be the rebuild manager.
Okay.
And he won manager of the year in 2023. Because they made it to the playoffs when they weren't supposed to.
Right.
They didn't win a game in the playoffs. Yeah. Made it to the playoffs again last year. Mm-hmm. Didn't win a game in the playoffs.
Right.
So I've been for firing this guy for a couple of years now.
Like all the fans are it's a tough business. You want to know why they get the big bucks?
Exactly.
Because they got haters everywhere. You think we have haters? They have haters, right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Right. I wish we had the big bucks to go with our haters, though.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I wish we did, too.
He has proven that he can't motivate this team to championship.
Oh, my God, it's the dog!
Landscape people are here, and the dog's freaking out. But more importantly, he gives the worst comments possible after a post-game show.
Give me an example.
All right, so Friday night, you lose 7-0 to might have been 7-1 to the Washington Nationals.
Right.
You leave.
Kind of a local rival, right?
A local rivalry, but also the Nats aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
You leave 14 men on base.
Yeah.
And the press asks him, what are you going to say to motivate to your team? And he says, "Well, I think we all know it's been a tough time and we're all struggling. So I don't think I need to say anything."
Oh, boy. Oh, that's kind of a kiss. That's kind of a fatal flaw, right?
And it's been comments like that mm-hmm. through this entire losing streak. They've lost now, I think it's 7 games in a row.
Losing.
And it's comments like this. So it kind of led to that. So then Friday they lost on what could have been a manager decision where they probably should have walked the Nats' best player since first base was open, and instead he hit a game-winning home run in the ninth.
And the hot seat got hotter.
And then Saturday morning he got fired, mm-hmm. and they put in an interim manager. Now the weird thing is, it's a lot about roster construction, and the team was not set up great in the offseason.
Which is another manager flaw.
Well, it's more of a GM flaw, where the GM did not get us proper pitching. And I know you've got the same problem in Boston with pitching.
Oh, God!
But since Saturday morning, when the manager was fired, the GM has not spoken to the media, and ownership has not spoken to the media. He's been fired, they put out a press release, and silence.
Okay, so you've got a team from the top down. Good ownership now, though, right? Not
new,
the Angelos.
New ownership.
New
yeah,
ownership, but is it flawed ownership? Ownership?
No, new local ownership, 1 year in, very much a baseball fan and an Orioles fan his entire life, and Cal Ripken Jr. is part of the ownership. So everything fans like, nothing to complain about there, but he's more of a hands-off owner, which is what we wanted.
Yeah, and now unfortunately the GM is not speaking to the media. That's not cool when you do that.
The GM has a reputation that he knows better, and his seems like his goal in life is to win a World Series without spending Yankee-style money.
Yeah.
And okay. It ain't working.
All right. So your team sucks. My yes. team sucks. Although we had at least one ray of sunshine with a walk-off home run by the very controversial Rafi Devers. It's just when you get into this, the thing that's cool about baseball and the thing's cool about hockey and also basketball, when you have the multiple games, when you have many, 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 many games, you get a long leash before you throw hope out the window. In football, when you're a football fan, you can lose hope after five games. And, you know, that's 5 weeks, yeah. And what you think about all year long, it's over. With baseball, you really have to work hard to throw that hope out the window, halfway before the season's over. And in the case of the Orioles, they're doing their level best to eradicate that hope, you know?
The biggest frustration with the Orioles is that it wasn't just Oriole fans. Many times, I've got my orange-colored glasses where I can see hope that other people aren't seeing for this team.
Right.
Going into this season, everyone in baseball said 2025 was supposed to be the year for the Orioles.
Well, you thought so, too. You were excited.
Everyone. Exactly. It was supposed to be a World Series team.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now the third or the fourth worst team in baseball at the moment.
Well, congratulations. We both are depressed. And we're going to cover your travelogue when you go overseas. But, I mean, you're going up yes. to Boston this week, right?
I'm going up to Boston. Yeah. I'm going to the games at Fenway Thursday, Friday, and Saturday games as the Orioles are up there.
It's sad.
So maybe
you make these travel arrangements when hope springs eternal and life is good, and now look at that. That's terrible.
I am meeting my dad and my brother up there. We have discussed going to Fenway for 20 years, but wanted to wait until the Orioles were good. And it
well,
didn't work out.
The good news is, though, the Red Sox pitching staff sucks, so you got that evens the playing field a little bit. You got a chance to go in there and maybe right the ship a little bit.
I hope. They've got Milwaukee for three games before then. I hope mm-hmm. at least the losing streak ends.
You got good tickets? You got good seats?
I do. I've got. Okay. I do have good tickets.
Where are you going to be? Lower, upper? Where are you going to be? I know Fenway like the back of my hand.
I will tell you tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I didn't buy the tickets. My dad purchased them. He sent them to me months ago.
The only thing with Fenway, being an old ballpark, you still have that chance that you might be behind a pillar that supports the upper deck, you know, because that's the old school way that they used right. to build stadiums. You can actually buy a seat in Fenway that is right next to a pillar that obscures your view of home plate completely. I mean, completely when it does that, but it's very rare.
All right.
And, you know, and there's some modern conveniences in Fenway now, so it's good, you know.
All right, so I am in Grandstand 16. For Thursday night.
Is that third base or first base side?
It is first base side.
Yeah,
first base side. 11 right. rows behind the dugout.
That's great. That's great. You'll enjoy yourself there. No, that'll be fantastic.
About the same seats on the opposite side for Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am in the outfield on Saturday night.
Okay. All right.
Not the Green Monster, but the other side.
I wish you good weather, and I wish you a happy time up there. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's your passion, and you share it with your it's not like I root for the Orioles because they're in the same division as my boys, but, you know, for you and your dad, I hope you have a good time up there watching the Red Sox beat the Orioles.
Either way, I'm excited. Going to do a tour of Fenway, staying at some really nice hotel right there at Fenway, the Residence Inn that's right there. So
what does PP mean when somebody writes in the comments? Do you know what it means?
In the comments, PP?
Comment PP. Capital
I do not
P,
know what
small
PP. I do not know what that means.
I have no idea.
Maybe a mistype.
Oh, hey, Jim Amato said 200 days from now, TMOS Love Boat. And we extended the deadline. So remember, get your crews on with us December 5th. We're looking forward to that.
Prices if you're depressed, are locked in for 10 more days.
That's exciting. Yeah, locked in. Then if you, you know, then all bets are off. You can still go. You can still get last minute tickets, but you're not going to get all the perks. But getting back to, as far as being depressed about sports, I recommend you do what I did. And that was, look, you hear a lot about Mrs. O'Mara and her online businesses and what she does. What you don't hear a lot about is her brick and mortar store. And I always love that. I love that expression. It's a brick and mortar store. Or in the case of my wife's
mall,
place,
right?
It's a strip mall made out of drywall and wood and plastic. No, it's wood and drywall. But I'm not doing this because she asked me to. I'm not doing this because I want a free commercial. I felt as though I needed some attention on my face when it came to this weekend, and I went to her brick and mortar store. She had some time, and I did it. Yes,
I'm excited to hear about this because that's one thing I've learned the past couple years is to pamper myself with stuff like this.
We talked
about my massages.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, all with happy endings, by the way. All of them, right? All your massages come with happy
endings. Or injuries. Yes.
Okay, or severe injuries. I go in, and she gives me what is called a hydrafacial. Are you familiar with what a hydrafacial? Okay.
No.
So, first of all, and I hope she doesn't get pissed at me when I say this, but I'd be lying if I didn't say the pleasant aspect of things follow the painful aspect. And what she does, we've done it on stage, we've talked about it, is the waxing. And the very first thing that she says, let's take care of those eyebrows. And I know immediately that there will be pain. And I also know that she's going to take care of my nose hairs. So there's going to be waxing there. And that just flat out is unpleasant. There's just nothing I can say. There's no, if you like that, you're like that Steve Martin character in Little Shop of Horrors, because there's nothing pleasant about it whatsoever. And she's always said to me, she'll do it at home for me occasionally because she brings her little fancy little wax bowl and she's got her sticks.
I've only had my ears waxed.
I've avoided
the rest.
I don't get that treatment. I get the individual tweezer ears.
That's what I get on my eyebrows.
It's very exciting. And then the nose hair. So it's almost as though before you get the facial stuff, you have to get all the painful stuff out of the way, and that's what she does first.
And is this when she is your now nurse handling this? Or
a role she better get used to.
Right.
In my
and is this something where she is not as patient with you as she is with her other clients?
It's not when she's at home and she does it, her excuse is, I do a better job if you're on my regular table than if you're lying in bed and I'm doing
all right,
it.
But now you're on the table.
I'm on the table, and I figure, you know, fine with the eyebrows, puts a little, I feel the thing going up here, and then a little rip, and then a little rip. No pain whatsoever. A little bit. And then the nostrils. And I don't know whether she in the right nostril, no, left nostril. Sorry, I want to get it right. This one right here. If she left the wax in too long, but by the time she pulled the wax out, it was so locked into my nostril that she actually bent my neck when she was pulling out. And she, I don't know whether that's, I don't know whether she'd be gentler with a regular client or because it's me. I complain about one thing and one thing only, and that is do it all in one shot. I don't want to go through it twice. That's my big thing to her when I give her a hard time about it. I said, please don't. The only thing I care. So I think she left it in a little extra long, and she did say when she dislocated my neck with the first pull, she said, look, got all of it. And then she was gentler on the second one and had to go back in one last time. But it's fascinating, and I'm still curious to what it looks like, and it's amazing what we have up there, which I think is a filtration system. I think that's why we have hair in the nose, to filter out all the dust that our ancestors would get when they were chasing saber-toothed tigers.
Right, and we get it now for all the plastic we burn.
Exactly. Yeah. That by removing those hairs, I am just breathing in microplastics on a daily basis.
Right.
So it's on. She's done with that. What else did she do beforehand? That's pretty much it. I'm trying to think what happened next. At this point, These are the next procedures I'm going to get. I'm going to get a hydrofacial, and I'm going to get a peel, an actual chemical peel.
Okay.
Which I have never.
I've never done either of those, so you'll have
probably,
to explain.
Somebody
them to
says
me.
She probably got butt hair too. No, she was not near my Brazilian area whatsoever. Not one little bit. I go in and I'm not sure what now. I'm not sure what order it comes in. I know the waxing came first, and I think she did the peel afterwards, but I could be wrong. Let me call her. Let me see which, because I forgot which one. I don't know the order of things, and I don't want people to, you know, think I'm not
correct
paying
you.
Attention. I'm going to do it right now. Hold on a second. Let me call her. But all of it is, I'm leading to a comment here, which will be truly, I enjoyed every minute of it. I really did. I thought it was worthwhile. I really did.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, do you do, all right, so it's nose waxing. Then is it the peel and the hydrofacial, or did I get the order wrong?
Second.
Yes.
I did not jar your neck.
You pulled on the left nostril when you pulled it out. It was at a, I mean, it was really like jarring when you did that.
Now, is that because you have a terrible neck?
My neck is sore. I've had a bad neck from golfing, and I, you know that I have no
how
disc.
Long have you had that bad neck?
I've had it for a month or two. And I need
exactly. It's not my fault.
Well, yeah, it was just. All right, let me just put it this way. It was slightly painful. How about that? All right, when you yanked the first nostril out.
But I got all the hair.
You did get all the hair, and then so getting back to the original.
And there was a lot of it.
Yeah, thank
was
you
she
for pointing
with
that.
You
Josh has a question. Clients. What did you say? What?
Was she rougher with you than her normal clients?
Were you rougher? Josh wants to know if you were rougher with me than the normal clients.
I care less.
She cares less. After the hair removal, what was the next phase?
Well, then we double cleansed your face, baby. First with the cream cleanser, then with the foaming cleanser. Once we did that.
That was pleasant.
I went ahead.
That was pleasant.
Yeah, I went ahead and did your chemical peel.
That was before. Ill. That was before the machine. All right, that's what I wanted to make sure.
No. Actually, I did the first step of the machine first, and then the peel,
and then
back to the machine.
Oh, okay. So it was hydrofacial, peel, hydrofacial.
Correct.
Okay, I got that right. Am I leaving anything out? I want to make sure I just talk about my day of beauty.
Thank you, wife.
Thanks so much
do.
For everything. I really appreciate it. You're
okay,
a champ.
Bye.
Bye. See you later. All right. There you
now,
go. There she
when,
is.
When you're
you
laying
sense
on
the hostility over the phone a little bit with that.
When you're laying on the table,
yeah.
And she's doing all this for you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Are you able to sleep? Are you able to
well,
close
I'm
your eyes and rest?
I'm fully turgid. This is happening. No.
Well, no,
no,
yeah,
I'm just laying
mortar.
There. I'm laying. Okay. My eyes are closed. I'm just laying there. The new deal. Now, the hydrofacial machine is a very cool machine. And by the way, I'm leading up to something very pleasant. Carl, if you're listening to me right now, I'm going to talk about the way it was when everything was done. But I thought that the pain would be over after the waxing. Well, with my baby soft sensitive face, the hydrofacial, which is essentially a sucking machine that sucks the gribblies out of your face. It's like a vacuum cleaner
okay.
for your face. They put it's water generated and then they, it would be the ascent. It would be the,
it's like a steam cleaner for your
it's
face.
It's like a steam cleaner for your face because water goes in and then it sucks out. And she rakes it down your face like this.
Okay,
that's the way it happens.
All right, yeah. I've seen this. So it's not a machine that just runs on its own. It's a little brush thing that she's picking where to
put it. It's not a brush. I think it's a sucker. I think it's got little holes in it, and then you rake the face. Now,
doesn't it look like a little blow dryer? Like a little.
Well, my eyes were closed. All right. Well, I think it's a lot smaller. I think it's about that big. And she just, you can feel it, like it goes in little strips down your face, and it's a little end. It's got water comes through it, and then they rake it over. It's a very, very expensive piece of machinery. It's like $25,000 machine. That's how it's definitely not cheap, because when we were paying for that, it was a big deal. Okay. So it was it does that, and then she hit a spot on me where probably a lot of sun damage from and it hurt. And as soon as it hurt, she said, "Oh, that's a red mark." But I guess it goes away really quickly too. But there, you know, because a lot of sun, I'm out in the sun all the time. But I'm still all in on this, because I'm like, okay, I'm really getting the full treatment, stuff that people would pay good money to get done, and I'm getting it for the husband charge, which is double. No, it's free. It's free that I get, and she is doing a nice job. Following that, as she rakes my face with the Hoover steam cleaner, it's time for the chemical peel. And I think...
Is this like a mask?
Yeah, it's like a mask. It's exactly like a mask. It's a exact, but it's not a mask that you really peel off. It's more or less you wash it off after it's done. So it doesn't, you know, I know you're thinking peel where it's up at the top and you peel. I think there are certain ones like that. And she tells me that I didn't get the heavy duty one. I got two levels prior to that. So she did it once and then washed it off and then did another one, and you can feel the, I think it's called hydro something acid that is on the skin.
You can feel the burn.
Yeah, you're feeling the burn, and it was interesting, but it's still not, I wouldn't describe it as 100% pleasant, because you're taking a layer of skin off. That's what you're doing. You're burning your face, you know.
I am not an animal.
So she does that once, washes it, does it twice, and then back again to the stuff. And I think at that point, I'm pretty well done. And I immediately went to the forehead, and it was just like a baby's ass. It was just like
you could notice the difference.
Oh, immediately. And that's where I was getting to with the whole thing, is that it was a pleasant experience. It really was not like the, you know, you getting your Thai massages, where, you know, certain massages can be for relaxation and you feel good during the whole process, and then then you're loose and your pain is gone at the end.
It reminds me of a pedicure. It sounds very similar to a pedicure on your face.
Well, the pedicure the last one I got was in Virginia, and my wife goes to this lady she loves, her Lady Anne up in Manassas, and then I go to Anne's assistant to get my pedicure. Anne's assistant is called Dr. Mengele, because Dr. Mengele, every single time, I've been there three times, 10 years passed since the last time. Well, this witch still works in this office, and she dug into my cuticles and drew blood again. Well, she's done that. She loves to draw blood. It's ridiculous.
She's been there 3 years.
Yeah, well, Carla loves the place because she goes to her sweet lady that makes her feel good, and I go to this lady that takes these nasty hooks and destroys my cuticles in my toes. But getting back to the facial, it really was, at the end, I have to tell you, I put my fingers up to my skin, and I said, it really is amazing. And then she does the thing she likes to do with all of her clients. She takes the little water, the refuse water that goes into the tube.
I don't want to see that.
See, I love seeing that. I think that's cool. And she shows me everything she sucked out of my face.
Yes.
And somebody said hyaluronic acid. That's exactly what it is, I believe. Hydrochloric acid would burn my face off.
Yeah, we would notice that today.
That's true. So it was, she holds it up to a light and she shakes it around. And it really was something amazing to see. And after I was done, not once, not twice, throughout the day, I'm actually feeling my forehead and my cheeks, buttocks and everything. No, my forehead here and my cheeks right here, and I'm really digging the process of what she did. It was really spectacular. I was really happy with it.
No, and that's why I bring up the pedicure, because that's how I feel when they put my feet in like the pink bag with some type of gel or something.
Well, and then you get the upsell. When they do that.
And then when I leave, my feet feel like that, where they're super soft and like a baby's bottom.
See, this is a worldly show here. We can talk about sports and we can talk about facials.
Oh, I've
facials
totally
and
accepted
beauty.
The pampering.
Yeah, it is gross. It is gross, Scoob. It is gross to see that. When you say it is gross, but at the same time, that grossness, everybody has it in their face. It's not like some people do and some people don't. And it is a cleansing. It is a deep pore cleansing procedure. I hope I'm getting this right.
It sounds right.
I think I am. And I'm all in. I'm all in on what she does. And what she does is magnificent for people. And it's a skill because not everybody can do it. You got to get trained to do it. And she got trained to do it and she changed her career. She used to own a court reporting company, which was boring and horrible. And she dealt with mean, angry lawyers every Thursday and Friday. And she went to, always wanted to do this, always wanted to be in skincare, in that world of beauty, ever since she got her first facial, and she went and did it, and I'm proud of her, and I love her, and it was great. How much?
And she's helping people.
Yeah, she's helping me. She's helping me. I still have the Ed Turney blotches on my skin, but there are ways to avoid that too. The problem is, if you want to get like a real peel, you can't go out in the sun for a while, and I'm out in the sun all the time down here, and that's the way that works. And then at the end, I had a nice little mint. Which was fun too.
Is that also standard?
There was candy available, and I helped myself to the candy. And there, this is just one of many things that she can do. She can dermaplane too, which I think, and she'll get mad at me for this, I think dermaplaning is just like shaving.
That's the piece of metal.
That's where she takes like practically a scalpel. And
It's women don't want to say they're shaving their face.
That's right. Bill Sniffen said I should get the Deadpool treatment. The Deadpool treatment is a lot of fun, too. Yes, sir, where your face comes out like that. I remember Deadpool. I saw that movie. That's the way it worked. Oh, I forgot to write this down today. I got to cover this while he's not here. I'm not torpedoing him. I am not doing this because he's not here. It's just because it's top of mind, and I have to cover this. Rob Spiewak, you are a monster. If you didn't like Nona's, you are a monster.
Oh, you watched Nona's. I wanted to ask you that this
now,
week.
Now, the initial reaction, trailer and the idea of it, it screams jive.
It does.
It screams drive.
And it's got a little of that feel throughout it.
And it's got a little feel. That's a perfect description. It's got a little bit of a feel throughout the film. But at the end of the day, I not only liked it, but it got me a little verklempt, and it was sweet. And Rob neglected to mention that it was based on a true story.
Because he didn't finish it.
He didn't finish it,
so
and
he
you
didn't
see
know.
It. But it says it at the based on a true story. Okay. It says that at the beginning. And the only issue I have is I loved all the characters. Was that Brenda Vaccaro who was in it, I think?
I don't know who that is.
No, she might be dead. I'm not sure. But the Nonas, two things about the Nonas. Lorraine Bracco was annoying in Goodfellas. Lorraine Bracco was annoying in The Sopranos. And Lorraine Bracco is annoying in this. And also, but she's playing a grandmother now, and she's made that transition. And, you know, when you think, this is where you get an idea of that clock on the wall. When you go back to Lorraine Bracco being the wife of Ray Liotta in Goodfellas, and then you see her in this movie, you realize that clock on the wall waits for no one. That is, that's the real Lorraine Bracco you're getting in this this movie.
Well, yeah.
She's got this way of talking that is always like she's talking to a little baby, and I don't like it like that. But overall, I was all in. About a quarter of the way in, I started buying into it, and I started really, really digging it. Great food porn, as Rob had mentioned, but he shouldn't have bailed on it. Well, and I wonder what kind of soulless monster he is for bailing out of this movie.
He said he turned it off on the opening night when they first opened up. And that's when he turned it off.
When all the people, when all the friends came? You watched the whole thing, right?
When no one showed up.
Oh, when no one showed up.
When no one showed up.
But I've been in the biz. I know how that works. I know that you have to have... the thing that... Here's why it rang true for me, Josh. You remember back in a land long ago, I had an Irish pub in Manassas, yes, Virginia. And the concept of opening a restaurant in an area where it's all about the locals. And really, when you think about any restaurant, it's all outside of chain restaurants, it's all about the locals.
Well, that's why Jimmy's does so well.
That's exactly why Jimmy's is local. It's so local centric. And the roots are so deep at this point. That's why he does well.
I had to go on Friday. I had to go get to a endodontist to get a root canal. And I explained to the guy that my tooth started hurting after flying back from Virginia. And instantly, the guy's from Herndon and starts talking about how he loves Jimmy's and misses Jimmy's.
That's it. I mean, that's what it's about. So this movie, Nona's, they go into another borough. They go to Staten Island. They go into that area, and it takes some time. Is it a jive movie? It's got jive in it. It's got jive throughout. I thought Vince Vaughn played it pretty chill. I thought he played it pretty chill. And I like the lady from Bloodline, who's his love interest in the movie, too. She's hot. And I think that she did a good job with that as well. It was really, really, it really, really was a pleasant movie, to the point where I was looking up as I'm sitting in my easy chair. I'm looking up to the little picture of my mom in her wedding dress and the picture of my mom and my dad sitting there on their wedding day. And I'm really getting a little verklempt thinking about time on the wall. Perhaps I was getting verklempt thinking about my own mortality when I saw it. My God, Lorraine Bracco. But there is one ray of sunshine. There is one ray of sunshine for anybody who is aging and concerned about it, and that is Susan Sarandon, who plays the hottest of the grandmas, really, right? And, yeah. Well, she's never been married in this, and I don't care if it's plastic surgery. I really don't care. But Susan Sarandon still has that kind of, sexual vibe that carries. And she's got to be near 80, right?
78 years old.
78 years old. Have you seen a better 78-year-old on film ever?
Probably not. Nothing comes to mind.
It was really, to me, that the movie needed that, first of all. They did a really, really nice job of it. Having Talia Shire play the nun was great. I told Rob, I thought the odds were overwhelming that I would text him over the weekend and tell him how much I hated it, but I couldn't hate it. It was a surprise. It was a pull for me to start it in the first place because it had that jive look to it.
It had the jive look. Plus, I don't want to roll my eyes and watch it. Review from Rob.
And while we're on the subject, and I know we're covering a lot of ground here, but I'll save it till tomorrow. Ended up watching a war movie this weekend too that I paid a lot of money for to rent, and I think it's called Warfare or something like that. Whatever it was, it was about a Navy SEAL team, absolutely phenomenal. I'll talk about that tomorrow. But getting back to Nona's, if you want that feel good, Warfare. Was it Warfare? Is that what it was?
Warfare sounds right. I've seen the poster.
Wow. Amazing. But at the same time, Nona's, how dare he? How dare he diss that movie and walk away from that? For a guy that'll sit there and, watch Mr. Belvedere or whatever the soft stuff that he wants to watch, I would think it would be up his alley. But you know what?
He went into it wanting to hate it.
And as you and I know, when they get together and we have them on the cocktail shows, there's a darkness there. There's an evil darkness there that, I could see them both rolling their eyes at the sweetness of it. Because, you might think your old buddy Rob is, full of candy canes and puppy dogs, but there's a darkness there that's probably why he pulled away from it.
And I'm sure there was a little of that darkness at the graduation this weekend. As hundreds of names got read before Robert Spiewak.
Oh God, it's the worst. I've been at them. I've gotten them. I've gotten my degrees. But when you go to a school the size of WVU, West Virginia University, can't wait to hear about it when he comes back. So we'll take a break here. And Nona's, check it out if you want that feel good jive. Get by the jive. It's like suspending disbelief. when you're watching any kind of movie. If you can do that, you'll enjoy yourself and have a good time. We'll be right back with the news right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. But first, I want to talk about vino. That's right, people. How would you like to be the most interesting person at the next big party you go to? Don't make up a story about how your son just got his doctorate in awesome West Virginia University, because he didn't. That's a lie. Instead, show up with a bottle of wine from an independent winemaker with a truly unique story. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a case of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. With our code, you can get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99. Naked Wines believes that wine is an experience, so turn off the noise of the outside world and uncork a bottle to celebrate the little joys in life. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. You need to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and put in our code, that's TMOS again, for both the code and password. You get yourself 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. And as I've mentioned before, during the holiday season, I didn't get a clunker. They all were delicious. They all were fantastic. And they were all such a deal. That's nakedwines.com/TMOS. Code TMOS for 6 bottles of wine, $39.99. Remember, all you Mountaineers, let's go. See, he's not even here, and he's through the copy. He's celebrating his son. Congratulations to Robert III, who graduated from West Virginia University over the weekend. Rob will be back here this week, actually, and perhaps we'll cover that next week on the show or on the bonus show this week. I do not know. Let's get to the news, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have our little news sound thing? I know you're not used to doing that, so that's okay.
Oh, I thought you normally press that button. Or do you want to, or I have this one.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. He gave you like the less quality sound effect, but it's the same one. But I'll do it. Yeah, he torpedoed you that way. Let's start with some very sad news. Former President Joe Biden has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. He got the diagnosis on Friday after being seen by doctors last week for urinary issues. The aggressiveness of prostate cancers is graded using what's known as a Gleason score. The Miami Beach audience is the greatest audience of the. Oh, that's good booze. Sorry, Jackie Gleason humor. Biden's cancer is a 9 out of 10. That's not good. That's bad news. It spread to his bones. That's bad, bad news, making it harder to treat than localized cancer. But Biden's people are optimistic. His office said the cancer appears to be hormone sensitive, which allows for effective management. The president and his family are reviewing treatment options with his physicians. Here's the thing about the whole prostate deal. I think the way I understand this form of cancer is that if you live long enough, everybody will get it.
That's what they tell you.
That's what they say. He's 82, which means, you know, he's not alone. A lot of people get this at their advanced age. In 2020, he was the oldest person to be elected president until last year when Donald Trump broke his record. Summer is just around the corner, and the folks at Mint Mobile have a hot take. Getting a summer bod is out and getting your savings bod is in. We want skimpy wireless bills and fat wallets. And with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month, you can have both without breaking a sweat or breaking the bank. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, huge monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/TMOS. That's mintmobile.com/TMOS. From payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. By about 160 days. Trump reacted to the news shortly after it was made public, saying, quote, Melania and I are saddened to hear this. We extend our warmest and best wishes to the Bidens, and we wish Joe a fast and successful recovery. Former Vice President Kamala Harris said, "Joe is a fighter, and I know he will face this challenge with the same strength, resilience, and optimism that have always defined his life and leadership." Of course, Biden's health came up a lot during the reelection bid, but that was more for cognitive stuff and not the prostate. This sounds like it was just discovered.
Yes,
right?
The only thing that close to this is the gait. And it's never, no matter what you feel about a guy, when you hear cancer, that's why, like, when Trump puts that thing out, that's not fake. It's, once you hear cancer, you feel bad for anyone, even your enemies.
And that's, to me, I'll take civility and decency and high ground wherever I can get it.
Now,
ladies and gentlemen, that's the way I look at
it. Now, to set that aside, do you think there's any time in with the announcement, with the fact that the Jake Tapper book comes out Tuesday?
No.
You think it's just a coincidence?
Absolutely. I think that, because I don't connect those dots at all. I don't think that, and it's not like the Jake Tapper camp is in cahoots with the Biden camp. They're not. I mean,
Is
he a left-wing journalist? Yes, he is. He would admit that too. And is he a guy that's tackled Trump a lot? Yeah. But at the same, and the book, by the way, that Jake Tapper's writing is about, I think, everything I've read about it and everything I've heard about the book, it's more about the not letting the media know about the cognitive difficulties that the president was having.
Yeah, I think it's more about the cover up.
I don't think they're related.
The only relation I see is, if you put this out as a family now, so the people are responded softer to the book.
You know, in my opinion, when you're talking about, since this is Joe Biden getting the cancer with this, I think that from what I know about the Tapper book, this is more pointing fingers at the staff surrounding Biden as opposed to Biden himself. I think Joe Biden needed more heavy-handed management when he was in there. And unfortunately, when somebody's the most powerful person in the world, not easy to do. Not easy to do when a celebrity's got a drug problem. Not easy to do when a president wants to stay beyond the time he should stay. I think that one thing that will come out in the book that I think we probably all knew once we saw Joe Biden at that debate is that they knew what the F was going on with that.
And that's
right?
What I think the book is about. Other people pushing this to continue, and not what's best for Joe Biden.
Yeah, and also the idea of him staying in, certainly not having a primary, was bordered to me on criminal, because I think things might have gone very differently in the election if you'd had a regular Democratic primary process.
I agree.
I really believe that, because this would have been exposed earlier. And during the pre-election, and it's not like sitting presidents aren't primaried. They get primaried all the time. We've had sitting presidents where people have run against them. And I look forward to reading the book and finding out more about what went on behind the scenes. Because once you saw him at that debate, you knew that there had been.
Yes.
Do I want to call it a full-scale cover-up? No. Do I think that they weren't letting us know the real deal?
And a lot of looking thing. The other way.
Right, right. So that sucks. And who knows what we would have had politically if they had been transparent and they had been able to get to the Biden camp early on, get to Joe himself and his wife, who I think has culpability in this, and let him know what was going on. So
that's what I'm curious about the book, is what it has to say about Joe.
Yeah, I think it's a good book to read. Last week, the British tabloid Daily Mail reported that Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, there's somebody who knows how to put makeup on, she is backing a proposal for a reality series where immigrants compete for a fast track to U.S. citizenship. I don't know whether this is true. On Friday, the Homeland Security Department released a statement shutting down the report called Fake News Friday. Here's the quote. "This is completely false. Daily Mail's reporting is an affront to journalism. Secretary Noem has not backed nor is even aware of the pitch of any scripted or reality show. DHS receives hundreds of television show pitches a year." I didn't know that. That's interesting. Ranging from documentaries surrounding ICE and CBP border. What's CBP? CBP border operations.
CBP?
CBP. Got no idea. Let's see if somebody in the comments can help us. Anyway.
The Customs and Border Protection.
Okay.
And you know what? I
Trip
get that.
Affleck, I believe, commenting on the Homeland Security in the comments.
Yeah, I believe that says camp.
Trip, I agree with you. Anyway, yes, go ahead, Josh.
It totally makes sense that other people pitch them shows because of all like the cop shows and police shows that are out there.
I get
Why
it.
Wouldn't you do it for Border Patrol and everything?
They said in their press release, each proposal undergoes a thorough vetting process prior to denial or approval. This pitch has not received approval or rejection by staff. Or rejection. That's interesting. They kind of snuck that last one in there.
Well,
that
means it never got up to Christy Noem. It wasn't her idea. But the story saying
so
that
you say.
But the story saying that they are vetting it is still true because they haven't shut it down.
They haven't shut it down. So it kind of contradicts the whole deal.
Maybe.
I, for one, every reality show. Let those potential citizens go out and battle it out on the island.
And I think I'm going to start sending in my own pitches. And then I can say, hey, they're still vetting it.
To Homeland Security. That's a great idea. Did you know that microwaves can cook food unevenly, leading to cold spots? I think we all knew that, right?
Sure.
According to Michigan State University, these cold spots allow harmful bacteria to survive during the reheating process. Wow. Gross. So maybe the time saved is not worth it after all. But if you're going to nuke things anyway, here are five foods that food experts warn you should never, ever microwave. Okay. Number one, hard-boiled eggs.
I didn't know that you would do that.
That you would even bother to...
Well, after it's hard-boiled, do you really want it warmed? You want it warmed up?
Yeah, that's stupid. It says if you microwave a hard-boiled egg, which is dumb anyway now that I think of it, it builds steam within the egg and can lead to an eruption whenever the egg is cut into.
Is that before you peel it?
No, I think it's... I have no idea. Or they said even worse if you bite into it. And that eruption occurs, you know, you might be...
You know, I don't use my microwave much at all anymore, thanks to the air fryer.
Oh, good for you.
I reheat everything in the air fryer.
Well, here, try this. I just microwaved this hard-boiled egg, and I love hard-boiled eggs. Let me buy into it.
Such a mess to clean up.
Foods rich in vitamin C you should not microwave, like broccoli, bell peppers, berries, and leafy greens. Who's going to microwave their berries?
The only one on that list is broccoli. That makes sense.
Broccoli, you heat broccoli up. Sure, I get that. Leafy greens, I mean, it doesn't matter. When exposed to heat, the vitamin C is destroyed. That's what it says here about microwaving things. So you don't want to do that. Number three is chicken. Well, I've microwaved chicken multiple times in my days. Food safety-wise, reheating chicken is safe, but it won't be yummy. All of the moisture evaporates, leaving the chicken with a weird taste and texture. I found that to be the case. I've actually microwaved chicken breasts in the oven, and they come out. That's why they come out like rubber hockey pucks.
Yeah, a little drier.
As opposed to wooden hockey pucks with that. Number four, seafood. Guaranteed to dry it out. It's from the sea. So high heat is not ideal unless you like rubbery fish, then go for it. Well, okay. I think chicken and seafood, we all know the drawbacks of the texture and that. And here's one that I've microwaved probably more than anything else, and that's steak. If you microwave steak.
You microwave steak? Oh, leftovers.
Yeah.
Like after
I've reheated steaks lots
of
times.
All right.
If you microwave steak, it causes an uneven reheat. It will dry out in certain spots while other spots remain cold. So
I think that's everything in the microwave.
Hard-boiled eggs, broccoli, bell peppers, berries, leafy greens, chicken, seafood, and steak. All those proteins. Don't do that. I'm still going to reheat it. I'm still going to do that. And by the way, if you want to reheat like a muffin, oh, fantastic. Like 10 seconds and you get that fabulous muffin ready to go. You can eat. It's
well, great. That wasn't on the list.
You know, your product is fully addictive when you're the one telling people, okay, that's enough. TikTok announced a new feature that will prompt teenagers to stop scrolling and start meditating instead. If your kid is on TikTok after 10 p.m., Oh, by the way, I had a moment with my kid. He's on his little video game playing MLB 25.
Yeah.
And his phone is underneath him on the bed. So he's sitting there. He's playing MLB 25. And he's watching a New York Giants video on his phone. That's my little sports kid right there.
He's got to them with the video.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love that. Anyway, meditating. If your kid's on TikTok after 10 p.m., they'll see an alert in their For You feed that offers guided meditation to help them fall asleep. Then if they keep scrolling, they'll get hit with a second prompt that fills the whole screen. TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, isn't TikTok that's the Chinese company.
Yeah, the right? Chinese company is ByteDance.
They said they tested the feature with a handful of teenagers this year, and only 2% turned the feature off. Ooh, that's interesting.
This is like Netflix where it says, are you still watching?
Okay, I get it. It's in response to public pressure and claims that TikTok is melting our children's brains. But what it's doing, look, we're on TikTok, we're on all the platforms, I get it. I think if you do too much of it, you get the boredom factor, where it just becomes endlessly, mindlessly scrolling.
I think
what
TikTok has ruined is our patience.
Yes.
That we now can't watch, like, a 30-minute show for kids is too long.
Yeah. Yeah, you might say, this car is about to go off a cliff, and it's like, oh, the drive is taking too long.
Yeah.
They're making it available for adults, too, but anyone under 18 will have it turned on by default. So anything to help, that's my deal, Wade. All right, finally today, an acrophobia-induced attraction in China is taking relaxing to new heights by allowing lazy daredevils to lounge in a bed situated on the edge of a 320-foot cliff located in the Mangshan National Forest in Chenzhou. The cliff bed experience was launched to, somewhat paradoxically, relax you and make you forget about the world. Despite having a bed in the title, the high-altitude accommodation is not meant for sleeping, but rather for people to chill and take selfies. Participants must also be between 14 and 60, while anyone between 14 and 18 must be accompanied by an adult. The attraction is also off limits to those who weigh more than 220 pounds. Why are they discriminating against me?
That's not much weight at all. 220 is the limit?
60? Come on, man. They're cutting it off. I'm too old to go on the bed. They're discriminating against me for my weight and my age. By the way, if you're making your way up there, that's half the battle. We do have some video of the people going to the cliffside bed. Let's show that that one. There you go.
Now these are mountain climbers.
Or are they? Or are they really mountain climbers?
You're right.
There it is. He doesn't want to go on the cliffside bed. That's it. We got to take a break. Later on in the show with our beautiful video, we're going to dive into the crap that I talked about last week that shows up on my feed. I'm going to just welcome Josh's comments on all of this weird-ass crap.
None of it's been on my feed, I can tell you that.
Okay. It's, I don't know. I'm a strange person, and I get strange stuff, and I'm not really sure why I get strange stuff. We are sponsored today by Ethos, and they asked the question, would your family be prepared financially if anything were to happen to you? The last thing you want your family to worry about is how they're going to pay the bills. Think about it, tuition, your mortgage, even funeral expenses. But with the life insurance from Ethos, your family is protected. I always thought that the traditional life insurance process was complicated, but Ethos is an online platform that makes getting life insurance fast and easy. You can protect your family's future in minutes, not months. There's no complicated process, and it's 100% online. No medical exam is required. You just answer a few health questions. We can get same-day coverage without ever leaving your house with Ethos. You can get a free quote, customize a rate that fits your budget. 3 million families have completed their applications and trusted Ethos to help find the right coverage. You should too. It's more affordable than you think, and I've seen folks that really have to struggle when a loved one passes. You can prevent this. Protect yourself and protect your family. Make things easy for everybody. Protect your family with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/TMOS. That's ETHOS.com/TMOS. All right, this summer, you're going to have lots going on the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to be heading out. We're going to be winding down our cruise sign-up for the cruise May 31st. Please, please, please do not delay this. We want to see as many people as we can on the cruise. We got a bunch of people going already, and your deadline for that, for the Seaside, that's the name of the cruise ship, the MSC Seaside, is May 31st, so be aware of that. We're looking forward to the summer. I'll be traveling to the Great White North again. I haven't been there in 2 years, so I'll be up there with my fabulous family. What could possibly go wrong? But the real traveler, the real guy who is going to be the world traveler and will be popping in on the show, he's going to be doing all his behind the scenes duties, but we'll be hit and miss with him on the road, because for 6 months Josh Soroka is going to Europe.
It's not that bad, but I have been told that I don't have a full week at home until like the end of July.
You love trips. I've never seen anybody. I've never been associated with anybody that loves it. Oscar used to like to travel. He'd do it occasionally, once.
Well, I'm trying to take advantage of having this job where I can do it anywhere.
Look, and at your age, it's great to do that. One of my great regrets will be that I did not travel enough. I regret it. I want to travel. Unfortunately, we'd really like to sell a few more cruise ship packages if we. No, I'm kidding. You're going to be traveling to Europe. Is this the first time you've gone to Europe?
I've been to London for about 24 hours. Mm-hmm. I had a layover in London, but that's it.
Okay.
So Kelly's been planning this trip.
Happy birthday to Kelly, by the way. Happy birthday to Kelly Soroka. Your wife is celebrating her 25th birthday today.
Correct.
She's 25 years young. God bless her. Fantastic. So, does she want you to say how old she is, really?
She's 38. I don't.
Will you give a message for me, please? All right. I want you to look her right in the eye and say, she's a baby. Yeah, she's a baby.
I don't know if she wants her age out there, but it's younger than all of us.
It
so
sure
that's
is.
Fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't. At 38, you don't worry about whether your age is out there or not. Come on now. Come on. So where are you going?
All right. So I've got pages of itineraries because she has our plan. I am going with Kelly and her mom and her son. And she has our day scheduled for every day and hit every touristy thing.
You like that, right? You like the fact that you don't have to think and you can kind of have
I don't think
do
at
you?
All.
I mean, you don't think
because I am a traveler that likes to just go and make my plans when I get there.
I love
to. I like to go and wander and figure things out. So
you're not going to be on those tours where they hold up the flag, are you?
I think we might be on one or two of them. Well, I know that somewhere on here it says that we are on a Segway tour.
Really?
So I do know that. And for me, that's the same thing as you might as well be holding up the flag.
I mean, really? I mean, if you're going to target Americans, right?
Yes.
I would aim bazooka at Segway driver, you know?
But I've also asked for time in each day where I can just wander off by myself. So I've got
somebody
that as well.
John L. said, sew up your back pockets. Have you read anything about that?
There is
pickpocketing going on.
I have a fanny pack that I will be using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see.
That won't target you. So you take off. Your first port of call is.
Yeah. First stop is London.
That's the only one. That's one that I know. I've been there years ago. Yeah. I had a fabulous time in London.
And I had a long layover there, so I wandered around and saw stuff throughout the middle of the night and everything. So, but it'll be nice to be there, a little relaxed, there for 2 days.
Did you go on the Jack the Ripper tour at night? Isn't that where you
I did not go on any tours. In fact, I did not sleep. I took a bunch of youth group kids, and we had a layover in London, and I was one of the leaders.
Was it an overnight layover? So you were able to go into London?
It was 20 hours. So we were able to go into London. What we didn't plan for is a bunch of teenage kids that were tired.
Uh-huh.
So they all took naps out and slept overnight outside of Buckingham Palace in the little park while I sat there and made sure none of the homeless people bothered them.
That sounds like you might have a better experience.
I think
how many days? How many days are you going to spend in London this time?
May 31st and June 1st.
So you're there for a couple of days.
Yes. And I have a note here on June 1st that I need to wear pants because that must mean we're going to a church or something.
What do you mean you wear your underwear walking around a city? What's going on?
You can't. No, like, I guess Westminster Abbey, maybe?
You can't wear shorts?
One of these, you can't wear shorts.
Yeah, try. You know what? Wear long pants everywhere you go.
Yes. Well, there's a few of those because we're visiting churches.
You have to remember this. Our standing in the world now, we are not popular people, okay? We are really considered rubes. I think you ought to be dressed to the nines every time you go out.
You know, I wore jeans when I went up to Jimmy's, mm-hmm. and it was the first time I've wore jeans in months.
Okay.
Thanks to Florida.
I think jeans will be cool. Wear dark colors.
No,
don't
that's what I'll wear. Pants.
Don't wear, you know, I mean, I hate to, I look, I don't like to bash him when he's not here, but don't dress like Rob when you go overseas. All right.
Yeah, I think I need closed shoes as well on these.
Yeah, don't put like a a Beatles T-shirt on.
All
you
know? Orange Oriole shirts everywhere.
I think that'll sure. That's fine. Go with that. My God.
She's got whole itinerary. We're visiting Tower of London, the Sky Garden, the London Eye, Buckingham Palace, Big Ben, Westminster Abbey, Hamel's Toy Store, Neil's Yard. Piccadilly Circus, Chinatown.
Jesus.
And we are
in
having
2 days?
We are having dinner on June 1st at 9 p.m. at Spud Brothers.
Is that supposed to be a famous London
no idea.
Eatery?
I don't know anything about this.
All right, let me ask you this. I met your wife. She's very, yes. very nice. I don't know her well. Is she the type of person, or is her mother the type of person where you guys will be passionate about the schedule, or do you think there will be flexibility?
I think because her mom and son are there, there will be some flexibility, yes.
Okay, good.
But I also have no doubt that everything on this list she has researched well and watched lots of TikTok videos on.
The mother or your wife?
My wife.
Okay.
Kelly.
All right. Well, I mean, there's a thing I would like to see Buckingham.
No, and that's my thing is, I want to see all these places.
Right.
So let's do it.
Go. Then, rock and roll.
Then after that, we head to Paris.
London, Paris, New York.
We have a day and a half in Paris.
Okay.
Going to go to the Louvre.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's fantastic.
Some other museum.
Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower. A Seine River cruise.
Seine.
Oh, is it? Yeah, Seine.
It's the Seine.
Seine.
Yeah, that's fine.
I know
fine.
Not to swim in it.
Yeah, it's dirty. Dirty water. Seine River cruise to cruise the Seine. That's great.
Moulin Rouge.
Okay. That's it. All the tourist places.
A right? perfume workshop. I think I'm skipping that. I think that's where I get to go out.
There you
wander.
Go. You get to Z out. You get to chill. You know?
Notre Dame. Oh, and here is our Segway tour, a 45-minute Segway tour in Paris.
At least it's only 45 minutes. What about dining? What about fine dining in Paris?
Oh, every restaurant is listed here.
Okay, so you go into some good places to eat.
I can't pronounce any of the places.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. You're going to go eat fine French food.
The most entertaining thing for me is that I will not know any of the languages once we
are you going to take your special earbuds that translate?
Yeah, I will, but they translate extremely slow.
Okay. All right, what's what's after Paris?
After Paris, we go to Venice.
Wow. Are you taking a train to Venice?
Or a plane. What's it say? I believe so. Know.
You're just getting on the plane and they're gonna point you in the right direction.
Well, no, we are taking a water bus to the airport.
Okay.
So then an airport to Venice.
You fly to Venice?
Yeah, there it is. Our flight to Venice.
How many days
is
in Venice?
That morning. We have 2 days and 1.5 days in Venice.
It sounds like you're covering a lot of ground in a very short period of time.
Yeah. After Venice, we go to Florence.
Florence is, my sister loves Florence. It's one of her favorite places. And I hear, as far as Italy goes, that's one of the most spectacular places to visit. And not as popular as Rome, obviously, but it's supposed to be special.
And I think looks like I have to drive us from Venice to Florence.
It's like Florida. It's a skinny peninsula.
Right.
Not.
And then I know we have a rental car.
Okay.
And I don't know what side of the road I think it only drives on the other side. Then after Florence, we go to Pisa. And then
see the tower.
Yeah, see the tower.
Right.
Then we go to Chianti.
Chianti?
Chianti. We go there.
You know the wine, right? Chianti.
We are going to a winery there.
That's it, Chianti. Have yourself some delicious Chianti. Fantastic stuff.
Then, here we go. Driving to San Domingo.
Santo Domingo?
Yes. Okay. Something like that. and there we are going to Thermal Springs.
I don't know anything yet. I don't know much about that.
Then we go to Rome.
Pisa, it says here, is very, very close to Florence. We have some world travelers.
Good. They also say to buy some zipper-off pants legs.
Says easy train trip Venice to Florence.
All right. We are on a train at some point, so that might be it.
That's probably it.
We then go to Rome, where we are going to the Pantheon, the Colosseum, a photo shoot.
Is it the Parthenon?
Probably. There's no R in it, though.
No, because it's Pantheon. I don't know. I don't either.
The Spanish Steps.
Okay.
And then we are going to the Vatican.
There
you go. The Sistine Chapel, St. Peter's.
You get to see the real religion there.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's what it all springs from.
And then my son at 5 p.m. on June 9th is going to gladiator school.
That sounds like a rube tourist thing right there. That is just you stupid Americans. Hey, you stupid Americans. You want to be a gladiator like the gladiator, huh? There you go.
Then we go to Naples, then to Sorrento.
Jesus. How many days are you spending in Italy?
Like, I think it's I don't know. I think it's like
Is your wife Italian?
No. Yes.
Why so much? Okay, so that's why most of the time is being spent in Italy, right?
Yes. Most of the time is in Italy. Yep. We go up to Sorrento, where we're doing a sunset fishing tour.
Ooh.
Then we go to Amalfi and do a boat tour.
You still have time some pizza making. This seems like a real Italian. It sounds like you're doing a full week in Italy.
Oh, no, it's, yeah. Okay. It's,
Yeah.
13.
Do you know where you're going, Josh? Okay, 14 days.
No, I don't.
Okay.
It's 14 days, and at least 10 of them are in Italy, so yeah.
There you go. So it's a really, it's just setting the stage is when you go to London and Paris, but you're going to get a lot of stuff done, and then you're spending a good chunk of time in Italy, which is good because you'll have time to relax, I think.
Yeah, hopefully. Plenty of time to relax.
Yep.
Plenty of things on here, and I did the time change. Mm-hmm. And when the show goes live every day, when this show goes live, it'll be lunchtime where I'm at, which works well for checking in.
Okay.
So I'll be able to join FaceTime in and join the show. And
you'll be very Italian.
A little bit of Italy.
You'll be very Italian when you come back. And I think it's going to be exciting. And I look forward to all of your and I know the way it's going to work. We're going to hear little bits of stories, but then, you know, we'll get the real lowdown on what happened when you're safely ensconced in your home studio. Right?
Yep. We'll have a great bonus show.
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have some a two-segmenter, because we're running out of time here, a beautiful video, but it's not beautiful video. We're going to discuss the creepy things that I see, and we will do that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you all about the Podcaster's Warehouse. Every business has a story, but is yours being heard? You built something incredible. Now it's time to amplify it with a podcast that connects, converts, and captivates. The Podcaster's Warehouse will turn your mission into a powerful professional show designed for impact. You show up, they handle the rest. Studio gear covered, editing done, publishing and promotion locked in. You speak, they amplify. Imagine building loyalty, generating leads, and becoming the go-to voice in your industry, all without the tech headaches. Whether it's a public series for your customers or a private podcast for your team, the Podcaster's Warehouse crafts it your way. Custom formats, professional advice, and expert coaching, all built around your brand. With cinematic quality production, scroll-stopping social clips, and your amplified message, this is podcasting at the next level. Build your podcast with the pros. Visit the Podcaster's Warehouse. .com to schedule your free intro call now, because your story is too good not to tell. One voice can change everything. Let it be yours, the Podcaster's Warehouse. When a certain person on the show gets back from his week off, I'm going to tell him a little less on the AI for commercials. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. They sound good, but are they real? You know what? There's a warmth. You want to know what the Podcaster's Warehouse is? It's run by this guy right here. This guy I'm doing the show with here. And we all have our side hustles, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying to feed his goddamn family here, okay?
Yeah, I know that stuff a lot better than this trip to Europe.
That's it. And he's got – look, he does it for us. He's changed the landscape for this show. He can do it for yours. As a matter of fact, I might take pen to paper and write my own spot for you for the podcast.
That would be great.
All right. I talked about this last week. I've talked about it on air and off air to the guys. I don't profess to know how these things are generated. I would assume there is an AI component in most of them. I don't know what country they're coming from. They seem to come from foreign countries more than and other places.
This seems to be when people talk about brain rot on TikTok.
This is brain rot. This is useless. This is nonetheless showing up on my feed, and this is not beautiful video. This is creepy stuff.
Yes.
And the creepy stuff that I've talked about, I could flap my gums about it all day long, but I think it's more important to show you what's going on. These are random. I'll deal with them as I go. But I don't know what the F is going on here, and I don't know what they are. Let's roll. These are random that I got over just this weekend.
Bondura, poshu prani. বহুত দেখেছেন এরকম পশু প্রাণী কখনো দেখি নাই এটা কি হতে পারে এটা নাম কি আপনারা কমেন্টে জানাতে গেলে জানিয়ে দেন
প্রথম দেখতে গেলে শেয়ার দিয়ে দিন some giant blog but every now and then a human head pops out of its mouth
so roll it again let's take a look you see the human head you got to catch it because it comes out at the end here all right here we go
বন্ধুরা পশু প্রাণী বহুত দেখেছেন এরকম পশু প্রাণী কখনো দেখি নাই এটা কি হতে পারে এটা নাম কি আপনারা কমেন্টে জানাতে গেলে জানিয়ে দেন প্রথম দেখতে গেলে শেয়ার দিয়ে দিন
I know this is AI
yes
But I don't know what type of prompt you would type in to say create this creature.
I know that movies now, feature films, are painted rather than shot. I think they're not sets that are built. Everything is green screen. That's the way it goes.
It's all CGI.
It's weird stuff. That's an example of – and there's some guy in a foreign language that's narrating what's going on, but I don't know. Let's move on to weird video number two. By the way, this shows up on my feed. I don't know what it says about me.
This looks like a video game.
This is kind of a video game. It's a rooster with muscles.
Yeah.
And that soundtrack, have you heard other videos with that particular soundtrack? I get millions of them with soundtrack.
I don't get this soundtrack. I don't get any of these videos.
I don't.
And I mean, you got more of this guy just sitting there eating bacon in front of the pyramids.
In the pyramids. He's getting up now. He's throwing something out. What is that coming out of there?
Is
that a pig?
That is half of the pig.
Oh, gross. Okay, I get it. Not quite sure. It's gross, that's for sure. It's yes, Trip, I know it's BS AI.
Yes,
I'm just somehow, not sure, you know.
And the point is it's all over your feed.
Oh, somebody wrote the seal with barnacles. Yeah, the barnacles is BS too. That's the way.
Yes. Like this was clearly.
By the way, this is a video day. We can't really describe this. It's like a big, and now it opens up and little seeds come out.
At some point, that was a real video, and they ran it through AI and kept adding eyeballs.
I don't know how it's done. I'll tell you one thing. Once we figure out how it's done, Mr. Soroka is going to come up with some wonderful, gross videos for the Mike O'Mara show. You know it. Look, there are too many of them not to be able to do it, right?
Totally. And the reason you're getting so many of these is because people watch them.
Yes. Yeah. It's a little – roll that again, and I'll see if I can describe it. I want to describe it. It is a pile of eyeballs in like what appears to be seaweed. With a face coming out, and he's making noise with all these eyes, and now he screams with a dog, and then it opens up like an alien's head, and seeds come out. I don't know. Daming Mata, whatever that means.
Yeah,
I googled
Daming Mata. It's not anything.
The one thing we know is that Mike doesn't know how it's. Oh, F you. I'm just trying to describe these things. It's AI. It's AI. I know it's done with AI ASAP.
And the point
in the ass.
The point isn't how they do it. The point is that this is all over your feed.
Look, with all the AI technology that's out there, there is still someone who is making suggestions to produce this. And that stuff is coming out of nightmares, in my humble opinion.
Right.
Bro,
many odds,
what are you kidding?
Thanks, smart man.
Maybe aliens? Does anybody know what the hell is this?
Okay, now that's one of the BS ones, what's going on. All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap these up when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, because they are weird. And I just wanted to collect them and share them with you. And, yes, I've said it a bunch of times. Not sure why. But that's what we are nowadays. And I hope you have the video for this. We'll take a break. Be right back. Many of you know that I famously raise tigers and exotic animals at my home here in Florida. So this interests me. Is your cat having digestive issues, throwing up their food, or is your cat simply in need of a diet upgrade? If so, you should check out our next sponsor, Smalls. Smalls Cat Food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your very own fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. That's why Cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food. To get 35% off plus an additional 50% off your first order, head to Smalls.com and use our promo code TMOS for a limited time only. Here's a review from a real Smalls customer. Elizabeth C. said, "My cat was always so-so with her usual food, but she is very enthusiastic about Smalls. Her breath is much better, and she poops much less frequently, and it does not smell disgusting like it used to." I wonder how they pulled that off. The team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat their food. Buy some, right meow. Now, what are you waiting for? Give your cat the food they deserve for a limited time only. Because you are a Mike O'Mara Show listener, you can get 35% off Smalls plus an additional 50% off your first order by using my code TMOS. That's an additional 50% off when you head to smalls.com and use promo code TMOS. Again, that's promo code TMOS for an additional 50% off your first order plus free shipping at smalls.com. All right, I don't know how many more of these we have left.
A good amount.
Okay, well, they're weird, and we're just sharing them right now. Let's roll our next video, please.
Here's your backyard animal.
অন্ধকার রাতে ঘর থেকে বের হয়ে দেখে ঘরের সামনে কি অদ্ভুত একটি প্রাণী। ভিডিওটি শেয়ার করে দিবেন যাতে ভিডিওটি সবাই দেখতে পারে।
Again, something was originally there, and I think they just take AI to change the dog into some weird creature.
And the question is not that I don't know how they're made. The question is, why are they sending me so many of them?
Yeah, why?
Because I click on them every time I get it because I'm rude.
Would you like to explain that one?
That may be the most disturbing one. One more time for that one, please. It's a baby with a human head on it.
And multiple legs.
And multiple legs. Here's what I think about that one. I think the original video may have been a super blobby fat guy because he seems to be used in a lot of this. Somebody said baby Patrice O'Neill. That's not funny. Let's roll the next video here. All right. You can say mask. Of some kind. It's like a sack, but they're out. They're otherworldly. The concept of these are just so out there that they're strange. That would be what kind of a slash goat human head?
Yes, I think
right?
It was a, I think it was a goat or a llama or something, and then they said put a human head on it.
All right. Mike's algorithm, it says here, must have picked up something from him watching The Substance. No. I don't think that could be the case. That's too popular a movie.
No, ang gym na ito sa Barangay Lagao, sa General Santos City, sa Mindanao, hapon nitong Biyernes.
I'm not able to describe these.
No.
They're just lots of mouths and teeth and faces.
And I think the different language on top of it also pulls you in.
Yeah. And I'm not sure why the different language, other than they're produced overseas, is that who knows?
And they must be making a ton of money.
There are lots of views. How do you not click on that? Maybe people don't. That's interesting.
Or this is the Dumbin' of America.
This is
TikTok's real plan. Is get us obsessed with weird videos like this.
Guilty as charged. Let's see another.
Tingnan niyo to guys na. Yung anong klase kayang nilalang to guys. Ayan, napakahaba ng dila niya guys.
An alien with
Pugis tao din yung kanyang itsura guys.
See, that video was definitely originally a person.
And then they put the long tongue video
and head.
On it.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Now I'm feeling dummy. They're creepy, though. Yes, they are, Rolando. They're super creepy. Let's just do one or two more, and then we got to get out of here.
Stop.
That's the one that I see a million of them coming out of caves like that.
Yes.
With the baby head and just very weird.
Because that's where these weird animals no one's ever seen come from.
The Earth. Middle Earth, and what appears to be a Muslim man in the upper right hand corner
describing. I think he's praying.
Why do you see these? That's the question, Tripp. Yes, why do I see these? Out. That's what I want to know. Now, and it's Arabic. Thanks, Aesop. We know you're smart. Get off my feed. Jesus. Tripp said stop watching this. May God forgive us all.
Where you sent and you said, is it real?
And it's fake.
I assume it's fake.
It's got to be fake. First of all, that's not a struggling or dead creature. That's a sleeping creature, in my opinion. And then it shows the giant snake. Snakes seem to be part of this feed also from hell, the feed from hell that I get. I get them. I'm sorry. I wish I'd stop. I'm ready to stop looking at them.
Well, I have one more for you because this isn't AI. I don't know why this one got into your feed,
right,
but I can't believe it's AI.
Right.
Pulling a leech off of some animal.
Or is it human?
I don't know what body
part are they pulling the leech? That is so nasty.
But it's way too much hair to be AI.
It's also, I included it in that. Stew on that, ladies and gentlemen. Really, I think that you'll have to enjoy on your own time. I'm not sure when I'm going to get these stopped sending them to me. Wednesday, we will be joined on the show by your Korean dad, yes. Nick Cho. When you speak to Nick setting up the segment on Wednesday, please make a note of the fact that I would really like to dive into Korea, north and south, if he's willing to do that.
Okay.
I am fascinated by that part of the world, and it's his heritage, and I'd like to know.
And it's your Korean dad.
It's your Korean dad. He'll be joining us, Nick Cho, on the show.
Best up tomorrow.
Best up tomorrow, and we will be seeing you on Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for all your support. Don't forget to book a cruise cabin, and we'll be back with another episode on Wednesday. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Twitter.